Here comes Pastor Jim.
We'd like to welcome our radio audience to the sanctuary of Trinity United Methodist Church. Christ's hands and feet and heart are in our community. We also invite you to join us every Sunday morning for worship at 10 a.m. We invite you to watch and subscribe to our worship service and our Spirit 23 devotions on YouTube. And this morning, as a treat,
that is a treat,
we will have the special music by Jim Pfaffenberger and Mark Smallwood.
We will ask Judy to define treat.
Yeah.
All right. But we do have a song picked out for you. We had an opening that talked about the dark night of the soul. Matthew 5:15 talks about let your light shine for Jesus, though, once you get out of that dark night. And there is no better song that displays that or expresses that than a good old 1969 song by Donna Fargo called You Can't Be a Beacon
If Your Light,
Don't Shine. That's basically Matthew 5:15. Many of you probably remember that song. If you don't, it'll get you. And you're more than welcome to join in anytime you want to sing this morning with us. I came through the garage door one day this week and out of my mouth came that song. I don't know where it came from, except I was singing it to Lori. And all of a sudden, a little bit later, I thought, that's a perfect song to sing. So here we go. Kicking off there, Troy. He's bringing in some bluegrass music today.
Can't be a beacon if your light don't shine. You can't be a beacon if your light don't shine. There's no light in all of us by God's design. You can't be a beacon if your light don't shine. How can you ask for help when you do not believe? How can you ask forgiveness if you don't forgive? Now I don't mean to bring you down or speak to you unkind, but you can't be a beacon if your light don't shine.
Oh no,
you can't be a beacon if your light don't shine. You can't be a beacon if your light don't shine. There's no light in all of us by God's design. Your light don't shine. How can you ask a child to be non-existent when he can only judge what's right by what he sees in you? How can you offer vision when we walk around the blind? No, you can't be a beacon if his light don't shine. Be a beacon if your light don't shine. You can't be a beacon if your light don't shine. There's no light in all of us by God's design. You can't be a beacon if your light don't shine. And God looks around you, may find a brighter day. May he turn into the beacon. And you can't be a beacon if your light don't shine.
I'm twisting.
You can't be a beacon if your light don't shine. You can't be a beacon if your light don't shine. There's no light in all of us by God's design. You can't be a beacon if your light don't shine.
One more time.
You can't be a beacon if your light don't shine. You can't be a beacon if your light don't shine. There's no light in all of us by God's design. You can't be a beacon if your light don't shine.
Oh yeah!
You can't be a beacon if your light don't shine.
Thank you, young men. Our scripture this morning is from Luke 22, 39 through 46. Jesus went out, as usual, to the Mount of Olives, and his disciples followed him. On reaching the place, he said to them, "Pray that you will not fall into temptation." He withdrew about a stone's throw from them, knelt down and prayed, "Father, if you are willing, let this cup be taken from me, yet not my will, but yours be done." And an angel from heaven appeared to him and strengthened him. And being in anguish, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat was like drops of blood falling to the ground. When he arose from prayer and went back to the disciples, he found them asleep, exhausted from sorrow. "Why are you sleeping?" he asked. "Get up and pray so that you will not fall into temptation." Our sermon this morning is Dark Light of the Soul by Pastor Angel Armstrong.
Have you ever been through a dark night of the soul? As our video described, it is a very intensive process. It is a painful process, but it is not always a bad thing. Because when you emerge from the other side, you will be more than prepared to be a beacon of light. There is a psychological aspect of the dark night of the soul, where all that is good and all that is bad in you gets sifted and emerges. Your good self, your ego dies to self, and you, the best of you, emerges. I'm more interested in the theological perspective on it. The theological perspective on it is we go through something so trying, so terrible, that it brings us to the point of nearly losing our faith. But when we come through the other side, that faith is rock solid, and we can stand upon it. I remember the year after my son died, I had lost my grandmother, and then within an 8-month period, the little brother I raised and my son. And God carried me through all of these things very well. I was leading the youth group at the time, and every single place we went, the song played that it would say, "I choose to bless you. You give and you take away, but still I choose to say." I had come through that dark night, and as a result, I wrote a little lullaby on the fly, because we all know Pastor can't sing, although I do sing to all of my grandchildren. I wrote this little lullaby for my granddaughter Kendra. "You, Kendra, remind me each day that God does answer the prayers that we pray. And though the night falls and we cannot see, He will bring light when the time is right for you and me." Kendra was barely 2 years old when her uncle died. She was 3 when she came to visit. We had one of those little breakfast nooks, and as we sat around and ate, she walked around it, and all around it was pictures tucked into the molding there, and she picked up a picture of my boy, and she held it up, barely 3 years old. She said, Maman, Uncle Maman, go with Jesus. And then she said something that shocked all of us, because nobody had told her anything about Raymond's death. She said, he bumped his head, and he go to be with Jesus. From that point on, her mother would call and tell me about conversations that she would have in the bathroom, in the bathtub, in her bedroom by herself. she would talk to Jesus. She'd be talking away. And then it'd go silent for a little while as if she was listening, and she would turn around and answer. And Jessica calls and she says, Mom, do you really think that maybe? I said, Jessica, what makes you think that Kendra can't talk to Jesus? She might only be 3, but she has a faith that is so pure that she could indeed talk to Jesus. Listen for him to answer her and respond. I won't go any deeper into this story other than to tell you that God brought me into the light. Because of that transformational time in my life, I experienced the biblical truth that David describes in Psalm 139. Surely, surely the darkness shall cover me, and the light about me be night. Even the darkness is not dark to you. The night is as bright as the day. For the darkness is as light with you. It was indeed a transformational moment, not only because the light pierced through my darkness, but because it drove home David's poetic point. Just because the light about us might be night, we have various reasons. Each and every one of us in our lifetime has probably experienced something that made us feel as if we might lose our faith. But the light is not gone totally. In this moment, I experienced that God is really faithful to keep his promises to be with us, even though we walk through the valley of the deepest darkness. Psalm 23:4, whether we perceive him or not, says, even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. The dark night is not altogether a bad thing. Tonight we will hear, or today, this morning, we will hear about the dark night of the soul in which Christ Jesus himself went through, in which the disciples went through. And excuse me, I am no longer contagious. I just have a bit of a cough left, so please forgive me. Luke is the only evangelist that mentions in the scripture that Judy read for us an interesting detail about the temptation of Christ Jesus in the wilderness. Luke says, when the devil had finished all of this tempting, he left him until an opportune time. Today we see that opportune time. It comes upon the Mount of Olives. Here, Satan will renew his attack upon Jesus. He will renew a vicious attack upon Jesus and upon the disciples. And beloved, we all will have the same type of attack somewhere in our lives, where we will feel crushed to the bone, where we will feel our faith slipping away. That is why it is so very important for us to be grounded in the Word, for us to have people to turn to and ask them, please pray for me. Our Lord now enters into a dark night of the soul, where he will experience the most severe trial and temptation of his earthly lifetime. Today, we witness our Lord's obedient endurance as he suffers for our salvation. Never, ever forget that he did not have to do any of what he did for us. He chose to die to self, to let the Father's will reign in him, so that we might have the precious gift of salvation, so that we might have light in the darkness. In the background is an ongoing subplot. A subplot where the disciples have failed over and over again. We must remember that even when we fail, Jesus is indeed present with us. He never leaves us nor forsakes us. We see clearly in the Garden of Gethsemane, in the betrayal of Judas, in the denial of Peter, in the arrest of Jesus. All of these stories are tied together by two twin threads: our Lord's obedience and the disciples' failures. The disciples failed Jesus during his time of great testing and temptation. The Lord suffers great agony of mind, body, and spirit. He agonized over this decision. He knew full well what he was stepping into. And we think that it is the crucifixion that he so dreaded. I'm not saying that he looked forward to the crucifixion, but what he dreaded the most was the separation from the Father, because he was cast into hell carrying all of our sins, all of our failures, so that we might have the gift of salvation. The disciples failed Jesus every step along the line, and yet he continues to pray for them. He said that they must stay vigilant so that they would not fall into temptation. Do you know, until I studied for this particular message, I had always read that as them falling into temptation and not standing by him. That they fell asleep when he asked them to pray. When he asked his best friends to be beside him, to pray for him, they fell asleep. What I realized in studying this passage was he was telling them to pray for themselves, because they were going to be tried and tempted as well. And each of every one of them fled the scene when Jesus needed them most. And that is something that they had to live with the rest of their lives. Each and every one of them. The disciples will be severely tested as they watch Jesus enter into his passion. The temptation they face is that they will lose their faith. Have you ever been through something so crushing in life that even though you know God is there, even though you love him, whatever is happening is wearing upon you so greatly that you don't feel Christ right there. You don't feel the love that you have always had for him. You are not so strong in your faith. This is an occurrence that happens to almost everyone, beloved. The events of the next few days were going to literally shatter these disciples. Yet, the Holy Spirit upon Pentecost filled them again. They returned. They all came out of the shadows after having denied their Lord, after having run away from him. They began sharing the message of Christ Jesus. I have to hear what's so funny. Huh? Coughing. Yes, sorry about that. Oh, uh-oh. That's not good. Our Lord warns them ahead of time. He warns them at the garden, and he warns them yet again. Pray that this will not happen to you. Pray, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Jesus then withdraws about a stone's throw away, and he knelt down and he began to pray. And he said, Father, if you are willing, take this cup from me. The cup here he describes is the impending suffering and death that he will go through, but it is also God's wrath upon man. It is all of God's wrath upon sin itself. He is to take upon himself all of the sin, past, present, and future, all of God's anger, and be cast into eternal damnation. It is the cup of hell, literally the cup of hell. Here in the garden, we see clearly the true humanity of Christ Jesus. As a true man, he now faces terrible physical pain, being beaten, being flogged, being crucified. However, he also faces the terrible reality, the spiritual pain of bearing all of our sins and being punished in our place with eternal damnation and hell. Our Lord will be forsaken by the Father. He will be cut off and cast into hell while he hangs upon that cross. This will be spiritual anguish of bearing the sins of all humanity. And he prays, Father, Father, if you are willing, please take this cup from me. I can't imagine his agony and his pain. What I do know is that it caused a scientific, biological event to happen in his body. He sweat huge drops of blood. That's how much stress that he went through. He sweat huge drops of blood. And yet, he said, not my will, but yours be done. I ask now that when we leave here today, we remember to place ourselves in the Father's hands to say, have thine own way with us, Lord. No matter what comes, no matter what testing, no matter what trials, no matter what temptations, no matter what threatens to harm our faith, that we literally place our faith, our life, our essence and our being into the Father's hands, knowing beyond a shadow of a doubt that whatever we go through, he will bring us through the other side. And we too will be able to say, not my will, but yours be done. Even though you give and you take away, still I choose to say, blessed be your name. We all must trust God the Father, so much that we be willing to die to self. Because that's what happened with Christ Jesus here. He went through the dark night of the soul. He died to self, knowing the terrible realities that were facing him. And yet he chose for our salvation to go through that. And each and every time we choose to die to self so that we can carry the message of Jesus Christ to someone else who is suffering, to someone else who may or may not have faith, to someone's faith who is wavering, we too are fulfilling the disciples' call. Each one of those disciples did indeed end up filling the disciples' call. And each one of them, other than the beloved John, was martyred for what they taught, for what they believed. I don't think that the dark night of the soul is such a bad thing. It might be beyond difficult while going through it. That is why it is so important that we stay grounded in the Word, that we have people to call upon and ask them to pray for us when we come to a point of spiritual exhaustion and we can no longer pray. When we feel as if we have suffered long enough, we can't handle it one more minute. In those cases, we call upon the Father. We call upon others to stand in the gap for us. We go through profound crisis. We experience some events that are so devastating but it shakes us to the very core. Something so terrible happens to us that our faith is shaken. We begin to doubt and are in danger of falling away from Christ. What we fear the very most in our life happens to us. We enter into intense anguish of the body, of the spirit, of the soul. We enter into the dark night. When this happens, the key is to remember that Christ has gone through it before us and that he walks through it with us now. He's experienced this himself to a greater degree than we can begin to imagine. The Messiah suffered this dark night of the soul, but on a deeper and a higher level. Hebrews says, because he himself suffered when tempted, he is able to help those who are being tempted. Because Jesus suffered in such an intense way, he is able to help each and every one of us in a time of crisis. And he full well understands our pain. Our Lord reaches out to each and every one of us. He takes our hands through the darkness, through the trial, and he sits and holds our hands. He doesn't offer platitudes. He just sits and strengthens us. You know, this scripture here, I started to put together a PowerPoint. I didn't get it quite done, but there was one PowerPoint image that struck me. In the garden, in that moment, there's an angel that shows up. The angel doesn't say a word. He overshadows Christ as he's praying, as he's sweating great drops of blood. And he is just present to the point where Jesus can once again stand up and trust in the mission that he has been sent to do. You know, beloved, I don't know that I could do that. I don't know that I could stand in all of that, knowing what was about to happen. That physical suffering was nothing compared to taking upon God's eternal wrath and purifying that wrath so that we can stand before a good and holy God and receive all of his blessings. By his wounds we are healed, Peter says. He himself bore our sins in his body on that tree so that we might die to sin and live for righteousness. By his wounds we are healed. By his wounds we are healed. By his wounds we die to our own sinful nature. By his wounds we say, not my will, but yours be done. This means that the passion of Christ brings healing and hope. It brings forgiveness for disciples who fail. It's pretty good news for you and I, isn't it? It does indeed bring hope. It bestows upon each and every one of us God's grace to the fullest. When I have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, I'd be fine with taking upon myself punishment. But no, he does something that is even more difficult. He surrounds us in grace. And beloved, I don't know about you, but for me, to accept that grace, when I know that I have done wrong, is a privilege. It is an honor. It is difficult beyond all means. But he gives us that grace so that we can continue on in his stead, just like the disciples of old. His suffering brings renewal and it brings a second chance. Each and every time we fall short, he says that there are new mercies every morning. Every morning when we awake, we get a new opportunity. Because he himself suffered when being tempted, he is able to help those who were being tempted. The Lord Jesus will enable you to pray He will enable each and every one of us to pray, Father, not my will, but yours be done. Father, have thine own way in me. Let this cup of suffering pass from me. Restore unto me the joy of my salvation. Father, help me to be obedient to your will. Teach me to follow your Son as he goes the way of suffering to die upon the cross. Father, I believe. Help my disbelief. Have thine own way. Mold me and make me after thy will. Fill me with thy Spirit till all shall see Christ only, always living in me.